We greet you on this special day of Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And this is the translation of Jacques-Peter Schmidt's message. We invite you to listen to the reading from Matthew chapter 27, verse 62, through to chapter 28, verse 15.
The next day, the one after Preparation Day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
This account of the resurrection is the only one of the four Gospels that relates the episode of soldiers that Pilate had made available to the Pharisees and high priests in order to guard the tomb. And as it is the only one, it is worth spending a moment on this report. You heard in the reading that the story of the guards and the story of the women are intertwined. In the Gospel of Matthew, there are the women and the guards, and their experiences are concurrent. The women and the guards have this in common. They find themselves together at Jesus' tomb when the earth trembles and when an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven to roll away the stone. But the difference between the guards and the women is that the guards are quickly sidelined from the rest of the story. They are so scared that they become like dead, says the text. It isn't the same for the women. The women hear what the angel announces to them and in return relay this news to the disciples with fear and great joy because Jesus is alive. The guards, on the other hand, only felt the tremor of the earthquake and saw the luminous angel, nothing else. So the guards and the women don't experience these events in the same way. This incident doesn't occur during the lifetime of Jesus. It's the first time that people who have experienced the same event get to experience it so differently. During Jesus' lifetime, it was enough to be present at an event to experience it in all its entirety. Jesus' teaching, healing, discussing doctrine with the Pharisees, whatever, all of these things, people understood what they saw and heard in their own way. But each person had equal access to what was going on. Nothing was hidden. In the text that we read about the visit to the tomb, this is no longer the case. The guards didn't have access to what the angel said to the women. They were like dead. The guards did not see Jesus either. The women have access to a vital part of the story that is not accessible to the guards. This part is reserved for the women. And Jesus shows up. Of course, when the guards return to the city, they tell their version of the truth about what they had seen, that is, the angel, the earthquake, the women, the open and empty tomb. This is enough for the Jews to construct a theory around the incident, a theory that is still held today. The women themselves invent nothing. There's no theoretical story. They follow the desire to find the crucified Jesus in the tomb to finish preparing the body for final burial. They meet an angel, believe what the angel tells them, and then return to the disciples to announce that Jesus is alive. It's actually what the angel asks them to do. You will notice that they leave the tomb without having seen Jesus. They actually believe before they see. It's only on the way back that Jesus comes to meet them and is subsequently recognized by them. Seeing Jesus, touching his feet, only comes at the end. First, they believe. Then they see. This teaches us two things. Firstly, that believing in the resurrection is an act of faith. Faith in the words of another who says to me, Jesus rose from the dead. Secondly, that the path to the resurrection is an individualized path. We will only have access to the entire Easter story if we truly desire to meet up with the crucified Jesus, like these women do. We can say this in a different way. When they come to the tomb, the women enter the kingdom of heaven. The guards remain outside. You know, the kingdom of heaven is this space that Jesus announces at the start of his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." At the beginning of the gospel, the kingdom of heaven is approaching, is coming near. At the time of the resurrection, one can actually enter the kingdom by faith in the same way that these women enter it. This passage doesn't speak of kingdom of heaven specifically, but the text does contain clues that can convince us that this is the case. The angel comes from the sky, his appearance is like lightning, and his clothing is white like snow. And only the women enter this space. Think of the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, where only 5 of the 10 are able to enter with the bridegroom into the wedding hall, because only 5 are ready. In our story, Jesus, the bridegroom, comes to meet the women, and the door is closed for the guards. But that's not all. In this text, the kingdom of heaven has 3 other characteristics. Firstly, look at the physical presence of the body in verse 9. The women seize the feet of Jesus when he comes to meet them. So Jesus does have a body that can be touched. He's truly resurrected. He is not just pure spirit. The kingdom of heaven is embodied in Jesus and becomes the body of Christ. Next, it's a kingdom of brotherhood. You may have noticed in the text that Jesus is no longer speaking of disciples, but of brothers. In verse 10 he says, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." In this kingdom, Jesus becomes the Lord and a brother. And because he is our brother, we have one Father in heaven. Thirdly, it is also the domain of joy without fear. This is what Jesus says to the women, "Rejoice," which is improperly translated as greetings in verse 9. "Do not fear," verse 10. 2,000 years later, when you look at it attentively, you can see that this notion of the kingdom of heaven is not such a foreign concept if we think of what we experience as a church today. We are part of a church, and a church where those who are thirsty to know more about Christ can be in this church. This church is the body of Christ. It's a church of brothers and sisters, a church of joy. Despite all the vagaries of our community life, let us remember that we can experience the same things those women experienced at the tomb. All the signs are there that show that Jesus is well and truly risen. The kingdom of heaven is open to us now because Jesus is risen. Alleluia.